So I'd just like to call at this point for a brief video that we received today to commemorate Mother's Day and the many layers of meaning that it has for us.
Today is Mother's Day, and we want to acknowledge all the women we're blessed to know. We rejoice over you, for your strength, your wisdom, your strong love, and your beautiful faith. Whether today is a celebration for you or a day of quiet reflection and healing, we're thinking of all of you. If you gave birth this year to your first child, our joy overflows and we celebrate with you. If you adopted a child this year or became a foster parent, we rejoice with you and we want to honor you in your commitment to changing the lives of children. If you continue to struggle with infertility, we are hoping with you and holding your hand in prayer. If you are exhausted and feeling underappreciated for all you do for a house full of kids, we applaud you. We love you, and we appreciate you more than you can ever imagine. And if you lost a child this year to death or miscarriage, we weep and mourn with you. And if your child is lost, to addiction or to the world, we hurt with you, and we join you in putting our hope in the one who brings prodigals home. If you live with painful memories of your mom, we pray that you will find in a spiritual mother all that you never had from a birth mom. And if you're one of those amazing spiritual moms, we thank you for stepping up and being there when others couldn't. If you're experiencing an empty nest for the first time this year, we walk with you in this new season and are excited about the next chapter God has planned for you. If you're single, we celebrate your strength, beauty, and individuality and join with you in praying for the desires of your heart. If you're a single mom and wonder if you have the physical energy and financial resources to raise and provide for your child or children, we want to help you, and we will. And if you're pregnant for the first time, we prayerfully anticipate with you the joyful birth of a healthy child. And to all the special women on this Mother's Day, rest and delight in knowing that we are thankful for you, and we celebrate each and every one of you.
I love that video because it points to the shadow of the joy that is kind of the majority experience on a day like Mother's Day, right? For the majority of people, I think it's safe to say that Mother's Day is just a day to celebrate those lovely biological and spiritual women in our lives who've nurtured us and sustained us and encouraged us and sometimes corrected us, frankly. But it also names that, as in everything, the majority experience is not everyone's experience. And so it names that shadow of pain and longing that is, if not for you on Mother's Day, then in something else. Because at the end of the day, we all stand in the minority experience in some element of our life, right? We all weep when the majority are laughing and partying. At some point, in some aspect of our lives. And so it's important to name that. And because there is suffering or difficulty or pain in the world, doesn't take away our opportunity to celebrate the good things. But it is an opportunity for us to make space in our celebrations for those who need to be supported by our celebrations and where we need to acknowledge where they're at. A silly example of the mixed nature of these lives that we lead is one of the things that always comes up for me in this gospel when we read together, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, that your joy may be full." I get this little sing-song voice in my head. Do you remember the camp song? This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. I learned it probably at VBS one day, one summer. Speaking of spiritual mothers, both my grandmothers were spiritual mothers to my sister and I. In their encouragement, they always made space and made sure that their grandkids got to VBS and summer camp and places where we could just be further nurtured in our faith. But the funny thing about it is that it's not just this saccharine, sweet little memory of my childhood innocence, because the voice I actually hear is this. It's my sister in one ear and me in the other ear. It's stereo, and we're doing this. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full, beat you. Because it was a race. Because you had to sing it as fast as you could to beat the other one. For much of my childhood, my sister and I were locked in this really unhealthy sibling rivalry that thankfully we've mostly grown out of now. But for me, it's just a reminder of like a great, pretty happy childhood in my life. Lots of great spiritual mentors. But this sickness at the very core of my being that leads to these things like unhealthy competition. And that's just, I believe, at the root of all of our experience, because our hearts are touched all the way down by the power of sin. And we don't finally step out from under that power until we die and are raised together into that final day with Jesus Christ. But that's the gospel. Because the love that Jesus commands from us is not primarily Jesus saying, do this, don't do that. It's primarily Jesus saying, remember what love is. Love isn't first an action. Love is first a relationship. One of the beauties, but also the tricky, edgy parts of Mother's Day is that everyone has a mother. Everyone. Now, thankfully, the majority of people have a pretty good relationship with their mother, but not everyone. Right? And that's what makes it a bit edgy. Everyone has a mother. And that's what I hope the takeaway will be for you today, is that Jesus is inviting us to remember the universality of, just like you all have a mother, whatever your relationship is, whether that relationship was too long or too short, too sweet or too fraught, if it was Goldilocks just right. But of course, even if you have the perfect relationship with your mother, that comes itself with the bitter pill of knowing that that relationship ends or is transformed at some point when that deeply impactful person in our lives dies. But the good news is this. Because of who Jesus is, because of what Jesus has done for us, we stand ever planted firmly in our relational identity with God. Nothing we do or don't do compromises that. We are always beloved children. And so whether Mother's Day is the trigger for you that takes you out of that majority experience of celebrating and into a place of mourning or secret shame, or whether that's another thing, we all can rest in this beautiful promise that we have, that in God we know a love that reaches all the way down, even to the shadowed and broken parts of ourselves, to touch, to claim, to bless, to redeem us. And that leads us through pain and through sorrow and through longing into joy, the joy of the psalmist today, who says, sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory. The truth is, though, sometimes that psalm feels a little hollow. for much of the last year in the midst of a global pandemic, having to wear these accursed masks on our faces and avoid seeing the people we love the most in the ways we most deeply want to, having to do all these things that feel like obligation and sacrifice. In the midst of the past year, it's hard to believe some days more than others that God is victorious. And on those days, when we feel the most defeated, when we feel the most frustrated, when we feel the most forlorn and forsaken, we get to stand not only in the identity of being chosen by God, but of being part of God's family, God's chosen people. So we have this secure, vertical relationship with our Creator, but we also have this secure and bountiful set of relationships with our past. All these people, like Israel in captivity in Egypt for 400 years, who cried out. And I bet you they didn't feel like singing, "Sing to the Lord a new song, who's done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory," in year 237 of that captivity. But the thing is, whenever we are feeling most frustrated, most lost, most abandoned, we can lean on the experience of those who've gone before us to know that sometimes it takes way longer than we would like, but that God is faithful, that God does free from slavery, that God does rescue from exile, that God does reconcile relationships too long torn apart through conflict, whether they be civil wars or disagreements between two parishioners. And then we can take that journey from pain through pain into joy. This is the journey Jesus' disciples knew in Holy Week. Through the agony of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, through the despair and longing and wondering of Holy Saturday, to the good news that was so good they couldn't hardly believe it of Resurrection Sunday. And that's why we take these 50 days of Easter to absorb the impact of resurrection on our lives, on joy and suffering. Pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber writes this. In John 15, Jesus is saying this long goodbye to his friends before his death. He is facing betrayal and abandonment and beatings. He's facing a crucifixion. And what does he talk about? In the midst of all this pain and agony and fear, joy and love. He's about to go through hell, literally, and he chooses to remind them of his commandment to love one another so that his joy might be in them and their joy might be complete. Pastor Nadia says, "I think the culture around us tries too often to convince us that joy is only possible in the absence of suffering, which makes what Jesus is laying down hard to pick up. After all, if joy was so important to him, why wouldn't he have avoided a painful and humiliating death? Why wouldn't he have just ushered in God's victory over sin and death in the world right then and there?" But Pastor Nadia continues, "But I've begun to think that maybe the depth of our joy is oddly related to the acknowledgement of the depth of our pain, private and corporate. I begin to think that suffering excavates something out from inside of us that in turn allows us to be filled more deeply. If the raucous laughter in AA meetings is any indication, I think this may be a thing." She goes on, "What I mean is that since we've gone through something devastating that we are beginning to finally emerge from in this past year. I've been thinking a lot about what those days after Jesus' resurrection were like for his friends, after the initial shock of it wore off. I just know there must have been so much feasting and so much laughter. I don't think they argued much. That whole, who will be the greatest thing, must have faded into the background, and no one looked at their cell phones all day. There must have been joy, and that joy must have been at least as deep as the pain of the previous days had been. The pain had dug something out so deeply in them, and joy filled it. Now, let me be clear, and these are my words, not Pastor Nadia's, because the way she says this has too many expletives for me to say in church. That's the way she rolls. Let me be clear. God's intention is not to inflict pain on you so that God can give you more joy. Rather, God meets us in a world that already meets out and gives out so much pain and injustice. God meets us here, and God holds us and binds us together in the midst of that pain and that suffering and that conflict. And then God fills up the space with joy. It's a subtle difference, but a profoundly meaningful one. God doesn't inflict our pain, but God pours into our painful experiences even more abundant love and grace and joy. Pastor Nadia concludes. She's a little ahead of us because she's in Colorado, and the states are leading us right now in vaccinations and reopening. So again, just notice how currently in Alberta, we're in an awful month. We can see the beginnings of a dawn on the horizon where things might get better. And we can see that hope more clearly when we talk to people like Pastor Nadia and our friends in Texas and in California and in Colorado. So listen to Pastor Nadia's witness. It's not yet our current reality, but Jesus' work for us and in us and over us and through us allows us to step already into that anticipatory joy. Pastor Nadia, I have had some delicious times with a few other vaccinated friends recently. I laughed so hard. I know that the pandemic continues to scrape out our insides, but maybe the laughter will be deeper now. The kind that comes from having just gone through hell, literally, and yet still somehow getting to eat breakfast with friends. She says, it made me realize how much I want to trust joy and not just look over my shoulder for when the next wave of awful is going to hit us. She concludes, how bonkers is it that after all Jesus went through, after being beaten, killed, betrayed, cursed by even by his closest companions, after all that, he commands us to basically throw a party, to come together, eat carbs, and drink wine, and laugh, and love. Which is to say, to be with one another, however we need to be, in the midst of that relationship that God has given us. If this is what it looks like, I'm ready for more resurrection. Bring it on. Amen.